you are awake, aren't you? Huh? As I mentioned, I will be gone the last two Sundays of this series. Dr. Al Brown will be back for those 2 weeks. He always does a wonderful job, and he will be completing this series. And I encourage you to come and be a part of the ministry opportunity that Dr. Brown is going to be with us y'all next two Sundays. And I'm blessed to have him share in ministry with me in my absence. You notice again, we are continuing this series, Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. This is dumb idea number 4. Let me hasten to say the list could be expanded quite long, but we'll move on to something else. I already have a sense of God's leading about my next series. But this is dumb idea number 4. Let your conscience be your guide. Admittedly, that phrase is not in the Bible. I know you find it hard to believe that a Christian would believe anything that was not in the Bible, but it does happen on rare occasions. Where did that term come from? What is the origin of that saying? Most people think it comes from the 1940 Disney movie, Pinocchio. In it, Jiminy Cricket sang a song to Pinocchio in which he said, "Take the straight and narrow path, and if you start to slide, give a little whistle and always let your conscience be your guide." Well, that's not the origin of that. Based on a research of this particular phrase, you will find it probably a little amazed at the first historic statement that's ever been used of this phrase. Apparently, this originated as an Islamic saying 1,300 years ago. One of the father-in-laws to Muhammad's wives, one of the father-in-laws to Muhammad, he had many wives, who was also a part of the Islamic movement. After conquering Jerusalem, he was returning to Medina, and he prayed and gave a message in which he said, "And speak the truth, do not hesitate to say what you consider to be the truth, say what you feel, let your conscience be your guide." So what place does conscience have in the Christian life? What place does it play in directing our thoughts? What is the power of the conscience? Turn with me, please, to the two verses of Scripture listed for you in your worship notes. It's 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, and then chapter 8, verses 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5, and then chapter 8, 7 through 14. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. First Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. "Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or faithful. But to me it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself that I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." And then chapter 8, beginning with verse 7. "However, not all men have this knowledge, but some have accustomed to the idols until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And thus, by sinning against the brethren and the wounding their conscience when it is weak, you have sinned against Christ." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. What is a conscience? What is a conscience? A conscience is something that's created in us by God. It is a, there has been a sense where it's been indicated as a moral light or guidance. Proverbs 20:27 speaks of the spirit of man as the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The English word conscience comes from two Latin words, which means with and to know with. The New Testament word in this context means to know together. Both words have the idea of knowing something within ourselves, something innate, something instinctive, a self kind of knowledge. As we see, and as we're going to see in the scripture, there are really two kinds of consciences. That's kind of problematic to say. There's a better way of saying it. We could say that there's two paths that your conscience could take, or two roads your conscience can take. Or maybe we could say even one person's conscience can be schizophrenic. Does that make sense? In other words, you can feel something now and feel something later that's in contradiction to what you felt at that time. It is a fluid, awkward kind of thing. But biblically, how would we define the kinds of paths or directions that our conscience can take? Let me give you, there's going to be, fill in the blanks here real quickly. I'll just make some quick references. Don't have time to develop them. But these come straight out of Scripture. On the left side of that column, we're going to see that the Bible describes conscience as weak. You can have a weak conscience. We find that reference in the one we just read. 1 Corinthians 8:12. People who have a weak conscience, a part of that weakness is because they have believed incorrect information about how to live their Christian life. Don't have time to develop it. It has to do with people who eat meat sold in the marketplace that used to be offered to idols, and it's sold in the marketplace. Maybe it was cheaper. I don't know. And some Christians said it was okay to do that because meat's meat. Others says no, because it was offered to idols, you shouldn't. Paul goes on to say, in reality, meat is meat. If it's, or it's offered to idol, doesn't change the nature of the meat. You can buy it and eat it. But some people have had a conscience about it that was biblically incorrect. Okay? So they were weakened by consciousness that was driven by false theology. Imagine that. So they were weakened. A weak conscience. And then the second category is a defiled conscience. A defiled conscience, again, he makes the dual reference in this text, a weak conscience, weak and defiled. Now, you can defile your conscience. Now, you gotta listen real attentively. A person can have a wrong conviction about something, and yet if they violate a wrong conviction, violating their conscience against God, their conviction can be wrong, but they can still be in sin because they think they're violating God's will. And you go, what did he just say? If a person thinks that eating meat offered to idol is wrong, in other words, it's a sin against God, if another believer influences him to do that which is against his conscience, he's really in his conscience disobeying his idea of God's will. And when you disregard your idea of God's will, that's like you're saying, I'm disregarding God. You can have a sinful habit of not following a bad conscience. I'm not going to develop that long, but just weak, defiled. Let's move on. Weak. I'll not have a handout next week. I won't be here. But anyway, weak, defiled. The second is a seared conscience. On the left side again, seared conscience. This comes from 1 Timothy 3:1-2. The word seared really comes from a Greek word which means to cauterize. What do you cauterize? You burn something until it becomes desensitized. It's numbed by being scarred. A person's conscience can be